Pray always and do not lose heart, our Lord tells them, and tells us. I don't know about you, but I found it especially difficult not to lose heart while our leaders in Washington, the other Washington, the other coast, played a game of chicken for 16 days. The Wall Street Journal claimed the game of chicken cost the economy $24 billion. Of course, the Wall Street Journal would measure it by dollars. But no dollars can compare to the damage it did to people who suffered the loss of vital services. Not to mention what it did to the psyche, or what we might say is the heart and soul of America. In my conversation with family and friends about this game of chicken, what I found was that most people felt the same way I did. I didn't feel like praying for them, I felt like cursing them. And most of the people I know felt the same way, those expletive representatives. I think it's fair to say most of us did not pray for our leaders. We simply lost heart. Jesus said, pray and do not lose heart. Would it have made a difference if we had prayed? I guess only Jesus knows the answer to that. But I doubt it. And I imagine that you doubt it too. I believe the outcome would have been the same way. So why even bother to pray, some ask. Some, who are those some? Oh, those some, the many. Their numbers are legion. They are the usual suspects, us. We Christians who have the mentality that prayer works like a vending machine. You put your coin in, you pull the lever, and you expect to get the DVD you want, or the candy bar, or the soft drink, right? And what happens when you don't get it? Oh, you know what happens. The first thing you do is you look around to see if anybody's looking, and then you go. And when that doesn't work, and then you want to know, who's in charge here? Where do I get my money back? Is this not how we think about prayer? To just be honest about it? But what if prayer was more about personal perseverance than the actual outcome? Let me say that again. What if prayer was more about personal perseverance than the actual outcome? As Jesus said in today's gospel reading, pray always and do not lose heart. Then he goes on to tell this very interesting parable about the unjust judge who is worn down by the perseverance of a widow seeking justice. But then he concludes his conversation, and here is the point that Jesus is making. The ultimate question is asked. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? We are a people who love stories about perseverance. And I bet every one of us here knows somebody who we admire, whose story is edifying because he or she was one who persevered. I particularly like the story of Robert Frost. Patricia Sanchez, who writes for the homiletical journal Celebration, she wrote this back in 2001. She said, Robert Frost labored for over 20 years without success or recognition. He was 39 before he sold a single poem. And yet today, his works have been translated into 20 different languages, and 4 times he won the Pulitzer Prize. Perseverance is also a quality of the opera singer Luciano Pavarotti. He studied an audition for 7 years before he made his first professional appearance. It took him another 7 years before he took the stage at the Metropolitan Opera. We all have stories of people who persevered. But Sanchez points out that the perseverance in prayer that Jesus encourages, that he tells his followers like us to pray always and not to lose heart, is a perseverance of a different sort. Whereas Frost and Pavarotti succeeded by being self-reliant, secure in their own strength and abilities, perseverance in prayer requires a shift in one's security from self to God. Reliance and assurance can no longer be self-centered but God-centered. Independence yields to dependence upon God. The self-will must be open to embracing the discerned will of God. In other words, perseverance is more than true grit that never quits. It is trust. Trust in God. And you know that the other word for trust is faith. So long before you can persevere in prayer and not lose heart, you have to be able to trust. You have to have faith in God. I think I already know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you trust your leaders in Washington, D.C.? I didn't think so. How do you learn to trust someone? I don't know. I can only tell you how I do it. But I'm pretty sure after being in this pulpit for 20 years, I'm not that much different than you are. Here's how I put my trust in someone. I have learned that over time, I need to give something of myself to this person I'm going to put my trust in. I need to give something that is, well, makes me vulnerable. A part of me that is not strong. A part of me that if this person wanted to take advantage of or misuse, they easily could. For example, I may perhaps reveal something about myself, perhaps a failure, something I'm not very good at, maybe even something for which I am sorry, for how sometime I said something or did something to hurt someone. I wonder if when I tell this person, will they use this information like a club to wield power over me? Will he or she use it to betray my confidence? I start out by telling them something small, something little, and slowly over time I reveal more of myself. We talk, we become friends, and I discover that I can put my trust in this person. I can tell them the truth about me. Now, of course, what is key to this is having regular contact with this person, almost even daily. The relationship doesn't happen overnight. It is developed over time. It is a relationship that happens during good times as well as hard times, during times of joy and times of sorrow, times of love and times of anger. It is this daily conversation in which over time I know that I can trust this person. We fail to do this in our prayer life. We fail to have a daily conversation with God. I'm going to imagine that most of us have the same kind of haphazard prayer life that Anne Lamott wrote about in her book, where we only have really two prayers memorized. And they aren't, "Come, Lord Jesus," or "Now I lay me down to sleep." Our two most favorite prayers that we have memorized are, "Help me, help me, help me, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God." It's hard to have a daily conversation when you're always asking that person to help you. But that sums up, I think, the prayer life of most of us. Jesus recommends prayer du jour, prayer of the day, Pray every day. Have a conversation with God that doesn't begin with help me, help me, help me, or thank you, thank you, thank you. We think of persevering in prayer as an exercise in getting God to give us what we want, but it is clear from the parable it's not about getting from God what we want. It's about having faith and trust that God will give us what it is we need. That God will give us what it is we need. Persevering in prayer begins with putting your trust in God. Trusting God to deliver what it is you will need. What it is you will need to serve God. It's a little different, isn't it? What it is you will need to serve God in this particular place and in this particular time in which you are asking. Putting your trust in God opens you up to all manners of possibilities for service because you will have to persevere in prayer. The good news is that your Heavenly Father is eager to give you the strength, the will, the whatever it will take to fulfill whatever mission and ministry God calls you to. That is the point of the parable. How do you know you can put your trust in this God? Well, this is, after all, the God of Abraham and Sarah, the God of Mary and Joseph, the God who has made good on every promise this God has ever made, including the forgiveness of sins, the communion of saints, the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. This is the God who gave to us his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is a God who indeed cares for us. And we see this care every time we see the cross of Christ. Persevere in prayer, a daily conversation with God. What will you say? More importantly, what will God say back to you? This isn't a one-way conversation. I mean, most of us think of daily prayer with God might be something as simple as, hey, God, I'm here today. Hey, thanks for the sun. It's looking good. Little concerned about the Huskies. And, hey, way to go, big guy. Pull that one out over the sea with the Seahawks, huh? Good, yeah. We don't really expect God to talk back to us. But here's what's going to happen. You go to prayer daily with God, God's going to speak to you. God is going to call you. And I want to emphasize that word, call you. God is going to call you. Call you to ministry and mission and service that you never thought about before. So I want to give you an opportunity to hear a prayer that might help you in this daily conversation, this prayer du jour with God. It might go something like this. Okay, God, I'm ready to serve where you send me, give where you lend me, and share where you care. Wait, wait, wait! I didn't think you were going to send me to the second floor of Queen Anne Lutheran Church to teach Sunday school. I thought maybe you were going to go someplace interesting like Europe or Africa or Asia. Not that I really wanted to go, but I thought, you know, maybe you wanted me to support that. Wait, wait! You want me to get my checkbook out? Seriously? I don't know if I can keep up this daily prayer thing with you, God. Wait. I know. I know I said, here I am, send me. But to tell you the truth, God, I don't have a clue how to do this. You're going to have to show me. I can learn. And with your help and lots of prayer, I know you, God, I know you will give me what I need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.